Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olah, is away on a ministry venture. We have two of our regular guest hosts, Dr. Wynn Kimbrough, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Kingsburg, Michigan, about 20 miles away from the campus of Northern Baptist Bible College, where you are also the director of alumni affairs. Is that right?
Yeah, here in Northland, and thankful again for the opportunity to be able to be with you and share, as you said earlier, the spirited and lively conversation about the gospel.
About the gospel. And with you today is one of your cohorts and partners in gospel ministry, evangelist Kevin Brownfield. And Kevin, maybe you can speak just a little bit about your ministry as an evangelist, because that really ties into the whole thing about the gospel.
Yeah, it really does. I have so enjoyed for the last 20 years the privilege of being able to travel abroad, different parts of the world, as well as around the country, and preach the glorious gospel of Christ. And, you know, years ago, I was saved at the age of 18, and this discussion for me goes to the very core of my being, because the gospel changed everything. And I was headed in the midst of darkness, and, man, God reached down into my pagan, sin-filled life and transformed everything about it, and I've never gotten over it.
As we are talking about this, I really want to ask a question I hope will fit in with what we're looking at here. But as you just said that, Kevin, I thought about this a little bit earlier. And, you know, those of us, I think in the heart of every single believer is a hunger and a desire to see others come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you've talked about how pragmatic sometimes that can become in our other broadcasts. But I guess a question that would naturally go through our minds at this particular point in time is, should we be seeing people get saved? I mean, is that something that still goes on today? Kevin, you said you're an evangelist, and the connotation of that is that you, although you do work at our church, I'm so thankful for you being there. And Brother Sam, you've had Kevin in your church before. Mm-hmm. So you've traveled, you know, home and abroad, sharing the gospel message. And so the question, I think, is we want to see people saved. People have used pragmatic means to try to bring people to Christ. But really, should we be seeing people get saved in our culture and our generation?
Oh, most assuredly. I just was talking a few minutes ago about taking a little trip last fall, in which I was privileged to lead 28 people to the Lord and see them come to the Lord Jesus, and please, and I want to be very careful saying that it is not about me, because I am so often clueless and really don't understand. But the truth is, the gospel is powerful, and the gospel changes people's lives for time and eternity, just like we've talked about in the last couple of days in Thessalonica. When you share the gospel with people who are lost and in darkness, and the Spirit of God's power is involved in it, and He convicts them of sin and of His righteousness and of the judgment they will face, and they do the same thing that the Thessalonian people did. They turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I think of a young lady, I call her young, she's in her 30s. She grew up in a certain denominational church, and this was last fall, and that week really was one of the first times that she had ever confronted just the clear gospel, the simple gospel, nothing profound, just as we talked, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, that He is the absolute and complete and total substitution for my sin. He died in my place. And this very religious woman came Thursday night down the aisle and was gloriously converted, and just phenomenal change just in 24 hours of talking to her, and her understanding then of all the religious stuff she'd done. Now it just was like a light switch had come on in her soul.
Amen.
And it was glorious to watch.
You know, part of it is when I think in our context, you know, local church context, in probably a very common scenario for a lot of churches, we're in a tough spot. We're in a hard city. Milwaukee is not known as a hotbed for evangelism. I mean, we're famous, but not for the gospel. But, you know, it's a hard place to be, and it's real easy to kind of back away from the gospel and say, well, people are hardened by it, and so they're really, it's really not working. We're finding regularly in our ministry at Brookside, and I think if I had other pastors from the town around, other good pastors, even though their churches might be a different size and they may not see the same amount of people that we're seeing, but I think all of them would say to some degree or another, the gospel is reaching people's heart in
yes.
Milwaukee. Not as fast as we would like it to. Mm-hmm. All of us would like to see more people saved. But if we would just be obedient to sharing the gospel, God does reach into people's hearts. And I think you would see that in Iron Mountain. I think the thing we've got to be careful of is to present a picture so that people listening to this, or a pastor maybe who's pastoring in a town like Iron Mountain, starts to evaluate himself by the fact that here's a pastor from Milwaukee, or an evangelist who saw 28 people saved, or a pastor from Milwaukee who saw 15 or 20 people saved in the last year, and I've been in my town and I haven't seen anybody saved.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something wrong with me. And I want to come to a passage in Acts 18 where Paul is in a city, a very hard city, the city of Corinth, and he has seen, he has preached the gospel, and there has been an initial response, but Paul is actually considering moving out of that city for fear. And in verse 9, the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent." And he's talking about the gospel. "For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And so the real question for the gospel is not, does it work? But who does God have in this city for you to reach? And so go on. If you're a pastor or you're in a church and you're in a really hard place, just because you haven't seen a convert in a year or two doesn't mean that the gospel isn't working, and it doesn't mean that you're not doing the right thing. It simply means that God may have people in that city, and in his time, he hasn't brought those people to faith yet. But you're the key to that in terms of your obedience to be in that city and not to lose heart. So the real question for me is not what is the response, not is the gospel working, but has God called me to this city to preach the gospel accurately and attractively so that he will have the increase? I mean, that's the whole point that he wrote to the Corinthians, some plant, some water. But who gives the increase?
God does.
God does.
But right along with that, because I think that probably a lot of men in the ministry that are faithful and have been faithful for years and years and years in their local churches, there is a temptation to listen to other voices and become pragmatic
right.
with the gospel.
And or to just not do it at all.
Mm-hmm. And you've addressed that. And Kevin, as you were speaking, one of the terms that came to my mind when we talk about the gospel is the pure, unadulterated Word of God as it expresses what the gospel is and the power of the gospel.
Mm. And, you know, I want to qualify, and I think what you said, Dr. Horn, is so on target with what we're talking about, because I've had many times I've shared the gospel with
right.
people and they've laughed at me.
Right.
I've had people get very angry at me and they've not come to Christ at all. So I don't want anyone to get the impression that every time I give the gospel, somebody comes to the Lord, because they do not. And I've not been called to save anybody. I've just simply
right.
been called to a consistent giving of the gospel in whatever context.
And that's the important part, because I think what tends to happen is, like you said, when we either go the pragmatic route and we say, okay, well, what's working? What is working? Because it's not working what I'm doing right now. I got to do something different. So what's working? And so we go that route. Or we say, well, you know, I've been doing this for so long, nobody's listening. I think I'm just going to go preach and not worry about the gospel, and out of discouragement. Or the third thing is we leave a hard place to go to an easier place.
Mm.
Because we're so hungry to see the gospel work, and it isn't, and we're discouraged, and our church is a church of 50 to 75, and some guy comes in town, and he throws up drums, and the next thing you know, he's got 1,000. And as a pastor, that is a very difficult thing. And one of the things that every layman listening to our program got to be able to do is to encourage his pastor and to say to his
yes.
pastor, you be faithful. Don't worry about the size of our church. You worry about the depth of our church. Don't worry about who's coming to Christ. Worry about how we're taking Christ to this community.
Mm.
And I think if we would just get back to the basics of what we're looking at here, it would change our whole approach to how we do this.
Yes.
Well, not the response to Jesus was not always positive.
Right.
And the response to the Apostle Paul was not always positive. Now, he had wounds, scars, left for dead, stoned, all the things that he went through for the sake of the gospel. There is the offense of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the gospel can be very, very offensive. You know, in light of this, I'm just kind of thinking about something, and I just want to throw it out there. I remember sometimes as a child being taken to church, and certain pastors, every message they preached was the gospel. And now it seems like there's a lot of places you can go and you won't hear the gospel. Like for you, Brother Sam, as a pastor, how do you include the gospel in your...
I was dreading that question. I knew it was going to come up at some point. And the truth is, Kevin, I stink at it. I wish I did a better job. And we got guys on our staff. You know, we got a guy named Pastor Bill Lincoln, who was the pastor of Calvary Baptist in Watertown. And the guy is my hero. I mean, this guy is a pastor's pastor. He, when he preaches, when he talks, you know, he retired and then he came on our staff as kind of our pastor for visitation. But he's almost like my pastor. Mm-hmm. And he just really, I mean, there'll be times where we'll go to lunch and in a very kind and gracious way, he will remind me, you know what, brother, don't forget about the invitation. Because I get so intimidated about the invitation. Mm-hmm. I'm in a little different situation than maybe some guys are in the sense that we happen to be in a large metropolis and we are centrally located and easily accessible. And so every Sunday we have a lot of people that come. And typically on a given Sunday, we'll have anywhere from 5 to 10 visiting families in our church. And some of those people are lost. We have probably 10 to 13 EE teams that go out every week. And so we have people that are coming in the doors. So what has been heightened for me is the recognition that every Sunday morning, I'm preaching to some lost people. And I have an accountability to God to make sure that within the context of the message, somewhere I am directing them either directly or indirectly to Christ. And so whether that's something in the service, I mean, sometimes I'll do it in the corporate prayer where I'll just give a brief reminder that, you know, if you're here this morning without Christ, you can't have Christ. But oftentimes I'll do it. I'll weave it into some point in the message. I preach expositionally.
Yes.
Paragraph by paragraph. And so I can't pirate that text and make it go somewhere where it doesn't. But generally within every message, there is a place where I can at least mention to people, if you are a cultural Christian, which is a term we've coined for people that come to church and they're thinking, hey, I'm a Christian because I go to church, or I was baptized, or I grew up in a Christian home, but you're not a genuine biblical Christian, come talk to us. If you have a question, we have a little card in the back of the pew that's your voice and you. Write your name, tell us you have a question. We'll get back to you. Excellent. So there's a lot of ways that we do that. I can't wait till the next broadcast. We keep talking about this, but we're actually going to get there in the next broadcast when we talk about what makes this message so powerful. I trust that you will join us in the next broadcast, and until then, may the Lord bless you.